Amen. The children may be dismissed to children's church. Amen. And let's pray to the Lord our God. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and worship you today. We want to give glory to your name because you alone are God. You alone are all-powerful. You alone are all-loving. You are all-holy. You are God, God alone. We want to worship you. We want you to work in our hearts using your word. We want you to make us more like Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you for your word. We pray that you'd continue to use it to help us grow in you. So we thank you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we serve a God who is able to protect us from falling. Today we serve a God who is able to present us faultless before his very own presence. We serve a God who alone is God. He is the true God and the Savior. We serve a God who is eternally possessing glory and majesty, power and authority. This is who our God is. This is the God that we praise. This is the God that we honor and worship. And this is the God that Jude called his fellow believers to worship in Jude 24 and 25. As we think about the letter that Jude wrote to his fellow believers, he wrote to his believers whenever they were in a difficult situation. And in the face of those difficult circumstances in which they found themselves, with ungodly men infiltrating the church, with ungodly men who are living desperately wicked lives, who are encouraging others to do the same, Jude urged his brothers and sisters in Christ to contend for the faith. He urged his brothers and sisters in Christ to remember that God is a God who judges the ungodly. He encouraged his fellow believers to devote themselves to living a godly life and to have mercy on those who are being led astray by them. But as we think about Jude's very last words in this letter to his fellow believers, they were words that directed them to God Almighty. They were words that directed them to worship him and him alone. Because God is the God who is in control. He is God Almighty. He is God All-Glorious. As we think about the most difficult times in our lives, I'm sure all of us have had difficult times in our lives. In those most difficult of times, we must go to God and we must worship him. We must exalt him. We must keep things in proper perspective. Even in the best times of our lives, what must we do? We must go to God and we must worship him, realizing that he is in control and he is good and he is loving. At every single hour of our lives, every single minute, we need to acknowledge who God is and what he is doing. We need to worship our great and glorious God every single day of our lives. This morning, I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to Jude 24 and 25. And along with Jude and his fellow believers, may we worship our great and glorious God. May we exalt his name. May we give him the praise that he alone deserves. May we stand in awe of our great and glorious God this morning. Jude verses 24 and 25, if you're using one of our pew Bibles, it's page 1406. And it's our desire this morning to acknowledge and worship our great and glorious God. Not only do we want to do that today, but we want to acknowledge and worship our great God every single day of our lives. This is what Jude says in Jude 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. This morning, let us worship our great and glorious God, because our God is a God who is able to protect us from falling. This is what Jude proclaims in the first part of the verse. He says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Who is our great and glorious God? He is the Almighty God. He is the all-powerful God. There is no one that's greater than our God, is there? Who's greater than our God? There's no one that's greater than our God. There is no problem that's too big for him. There's no one that's able to thwart his perfect plan and his good purposes. God is omnipotent. And on whose side is God? God is on our side, isn't he? He's our refuge. He's our refuge from the raging storms of life. He's our fortress. Whenever people are attacking us, we can go to him. He's our rock that will never be moved. He's the protector of his people. I'm reminded of what the psalmist said in Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. David said this in Psalm 61, verses 6 through 8, talking about God. He said, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. David could say, "God is my rock. He is my salvation." David could say, "God is my defense and my refuge." God is the one that offered peace and safety. God is the one who is the protector of his people, Israel. And for those of us who trust in God today, God still remains a rock for us. He still is our source of salvation. He is a defense and a refuge. He is our protector. And Judah was writing to a church that was being assaulted from within. There were ungodly men within the church that were scoffing at God. They were scoffing at his authority. They were mocking God. They were dismissing his holy commands. They were preaching a life of sin, a life of sin with nothing held back. And these ungodly men, they denied God and they denied his son, Jesus Christ. These men had given themselves over to sin. And yet somehow they thought, "Well, God isn't going to judge me." But Jude made it as clear as can be that their judgment was sure. In fact, they had already shared in the destruction of Korah. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that these men were smooth talkers. They were persuasive men. They were men who easily gained a following. And even believers within the church were beginning to doubt what the apostles originally had told them. They were wondering, "Well, is the gospel of Jesus Christ truly the right way to live our lives? Is the gospel of Jesus the truth? Is the way of holiness, the way of Jesus, is that the right way?" There were people in the church that were beginning to doubt. Did the apostles really tell us the truth? What was the way that they preached the right way? There were others in the church that were beginning to embrace the false ways of these ungodly men. They were on the brink of leaving Jesus' side to go back to the devil's side. And in the face of such circumstances, how comforting it must have been for them to hear these words of Jude. He said, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Now this word "keep" communicates the idea of protect or guard. And Almighty God is the protector of his people. He is their guard. And God is able to perform his role. No one's going to prevent him from protecting or keeping his people, because he is able. He is powerful to do it. As we think of God as our protector, as our guard, he ensures that his children, people like you and I, people like Jude and his fellow believers, he ensures that we do not fall or stumble. Now, what does it mean when it says that God is going to protect us from falling or stumbling? It doesn't mean that God is going to keep us from each and every act of sin, because we know that we're all sinners. Yes, we're redeemed sinners, but we still sin, don't we? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. So what does it mean that God protects us from stumbling or falling? And I believe that it means that God keeps us from denying himself, from denying his son in such a way that we're no longer trusting in him for salvation. I believe that Jude is saying that God keeps us from forfeiting our salvation. God is a God who protects us and keeps us saved. We realize in the Word of God that once we're saved in Jesus Christ, God gives us eternal life, and that's not something that we can give back away. It's not something that we can forfeit in and of ourselves. It's impossible. But God is a God who keeps us secure in him. We didn't save ourselves, did we? God saved us through Jesus Christ. And there's no way that we can get ourselves unsaved once we're saved. But Jude here is encouraging his fellow believers that God Almighty is the one who keeps you from falling. He keeps you from denying the Lord. He keeps you from going down that path. It's Jesus who said this in John chapter 10. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are secure in Christ. And Jude said to his fellow believers, God is the one who is able to keep you from falling. Paul says this in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 34. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Aren't you glad this morning that you serve a God who is able to keep you from falling? God keeps us secure in his hands. Our salvation in him is certain. There's no way that we can forfeit it. Even whenever there's the most seductive people that are intermingling with the church, even whenever there's the most delightful temptations, so to speak, that are set before us, there's no way that we're going to be falling away from God in the sense that we are no longer saved. We're kept in God's loving arms. It's true with the believers in Jude's day. It's true of us today as well. We praise the Lord because he is a God who is able to keep us from falling. He goes on to say in verse 24, not only is he a God who is able to protect us from falling, but our God is a God who is able to present us faultless before his very own presence. We read in the last part of verse 24, he is able to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. One day, everybody is going to stand before God. One day, everybody will. We ourselves will stand before God, but whenever we stand before God in that day, are we going to be cowering in fear before God? Are we going to be trembling, wondering how God is going to declare, whether it's declaring in our favor or not in our favor? No. We don't have to stand cowering before God on that last day, because if we have trusted in Jesus as Savior, we're not going to be standing before his presence with fear. Because we're not standing before his presence on our own merit. We're standing in his presence on the merit of Jesus Christ. The God who is able to protect us from stumbling is the same God who has saved us. He's saved us, and he is able to present us faultless before his glorious presence with exceeding joy. This word faultless could also be translated blameless. It's a word that commonly was associated with animal sacrifices in the days of the Old Testament. As you think about Israel and what God commanded them in the Mosaic Law, God commanded them to bring a sacrificial animal, whether it was a lamb or a bull or a goat, and that lamb or bull or goat had to be without blemish. It could have no discernible injuries. It couldn't have any sicknesses or deformities. It had to be without fault, an unblemished sacrifice devoted to God. And in that last day, God is going to present us before himself, as one that is without any fault or any blemish. We will stand before his glorious person without any trace of sin or wickedness, because we are standing before him in Christ. We will stand before him on that day, not with sadness or shame, but with exceeding and great joy, with jubilant exultation. Because we stand before the God of glory on that day, not because of any good that we have done, but because of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We stand before him because of Jesus. Our sins are forgiven because of Jesus. We're righteous in Jesus as well. And that's how we're able to experience great joy in that last day, because of God's grace and love and mercy. Paul says this to the Ephesian believers, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Even before time began, even before God created anything, God chose that we would be in him, in Jesus Christ, and we'd be holy and without blame. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read this in verses 25 through 27. He addresses the husbands to love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Paul is looking forward to that day whenever the church, believers in Jesus Christ, stand before the Lord, and on that day they will be without any spot of any sin. In Colossians, Paul says, "In you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." How can we do anything but worship our God who has the ability, who has the power, who has chosen to present us before himself, faultless, with great joy? If we know Jesus as our Savior, our hearts should be filled with wonder and amazement. Our hearts should be filled with worship to our great God because he has saved us. He has kept us. He is even at the present time keeping us. And he is going to present us on that day before God's very glorious presence with great joy. This morning, Jude leads us to worship our great God. He led his fellow believers to worship our great and glorious God. We serve a God that's able to present us before himself without spot or blemish. We serve a God that keeps us from falling. But now look at verse 25. Let's consider how our God alone is the true God and Savior. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Our God is the only wise God, our Savior. And some of you, as you look at your Bibles, you may read something that doesn't say quite that same thing. It may say in your scriptures, "to the only God, our Savior." It's not a question of whether God is wise or not, because we know that God is wise. Paul says in Romans chapter 16 and verse 27, "To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." God is all wise. We know that beyond any doubt. The question is Jude praising God as the only wise God, or is he praising God as the only God? And both things give God great glory, don't they? Because God is the only wise God, and he is also the only God. There is no other besides God. He is the one who created this universe. He is the one that called Israel to be his people. He's the one that sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. He is the only true God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39, Moses says, "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else." And Isaiah says in Isaiah 44 and verse 6, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." There is none other besides the true God, is there? Even though there are so-called gods with little g's in this world, there is only one true and living God, and Jude was worshiping that God, and he was calling his fellow believers to worship the true God. He is the only God. Yes, he is all wise, but he is the only God. Not only is he the only God, but he is also our Savior. He's our Savior. As we think about Jesus, yes, we usually think of Jesus as our Savior, right? But also, let us think about God the Father as our Savior. For God is one, isn't he? And so it really only makes sense that God the Father is Savior as well as Jesus Christ, he is Savior. Back in the days of the Old Testament, David praised God, his Savior, with these words in 2 Samuel 22. David said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." Isaiah said this in Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says, "I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." In the Old Testament, God called himself the Savior, and he truly was Israel's Savior. As we come to the time when we think about the incarnation of the Son of God, Mary, even before the Holy Spirit came upon her, what did Mary say? My soul doth magnify the Lord, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Paul the Apostle recognized God as Savior. We could read about in Timothy and Titus, God is the Savior. God has taken action to deliver us from our most needful and pressing problem. It's not a needful problem, our problem that we most need deliverance from. God is our Savior. He has provided the way of salvation for us through Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus is our Savior, but God is our Savior as well. For it's God the Father who sent his Son Jesus to die for our sins. It's this God, the only true God, the Savior of the world, that Jude encourages his fellow believers to worship. And this is the God that we must worship today as well. Our God is a great God. He is the only God. He is our Savior. But as we continue on and we read in verse 25, not only does it say, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Not only does he talk about God being the only wise God, God our Savior, but he says, to this one be glory and majesty, dominion and power. See, our God is a God of glory. He is a God of majesty. He is a God of great power and authority. You know, In a very real sense, there's no way that we can describe God because he is so infinite, he is so great. But if we are to describe God, we can describe him in words that Jude uses here. He is an incredible God. He is a God of glory. In the previous verse, in verse 24, what did Jude say? That God is able to present us faultless in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To speak of God's glory, in a very real sense, is a way of speaking about God's presence. God is glorious, and we can really describe him by that word glory. As we think about who God is in all of his radiance, that is God's glory. The psalmist declares this in Psalm 72. We read in verses 18 and 19, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. God has a glorious name because he is glorious in his person, and he fills the world with his glory. Maybe that's not the case right now, but one day it will be. God is a God of glory, and Jude directed his fellow believers to worship this God of glory, and we today must be worshiping our God of glory. Not only is he a God of glory, but he's a God of majesty. Who is God? He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. God is worthy of all honor. He alone is the ruler of this universe. He's the ruler of everything in this universe. David said this in 1 Chronicles 29. As he blessed the Lord before the congregation, he said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise thy glorious name. So we think about God as the majestic God. He is the king of all. Yes, earthly kings had a majesty of sorts, but that majesty is incomparable when we think of God's majesty. There's no comparison to be made. God's majesty is incomparable when compared to the kings of this earth. God is worthy of all honor and majesty. God is a God of glory. He's a God of majesty. He's also a God of dominion. And this word dominion could also be translated power or strength. We read this in Psalm 62 and verse 11. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. God is all powerful. Psalm 89, we read in verses 7 through 11. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? And the answer is, there is no one as strong as you. You are the God of all strength. God is a strong and powerful God. And along with that strength and power, God has the authority to act on that strength and power, to use that strength and power. Jude worships God as the God of glory and majesty, as the God of dominion and power, and that word power really has the idea of authority. God is all-powerful, and he has the right to use that power for his glory. Jude could have gone on to describe our God in many other ways, but now as he closes verse 25, as he closes his letter, he talks about the extent of God's glory and his majesty, his dominion or his power or authority. How long do those last? How long is God claiming those to be his own? How long is he exhibiting these attributes? And the answer is, God from eternity past has been a God of glory and power and authority and majesty. In the very present, God is a God of glory and power and majesty and authority. In the future, God forever will be a God of glory and power, of majesty and authority. He is the eternal God of glory and majesty, authority and power. This is the God that we serve. And Jude, as he encouraged his fellow believers, they were in a hard time. There were false teachers in their midst, false teachers that were mocking God, that were living debauched lives, lives of all types of sin. And it's in that context that, yes, Jude encourages them to contend for the faith. He reminds them God is judge, and he will judge the wicked. He reminds them, live a godly life devoted to the Lord. Have mercy on some. Be compassionate to those who are being led astray. But then what does Jude do? He directs their eyes, he directs their hearts to God Almighty, the one who is in control, the God of glory and might. He is the one that is able to keep you from falling. You are secure in God's hands. So no matter how seductive the false teachers, these ungodly men are, be assured that there's no way that you're going to lose your salvation. God is going to keep you securely. He's going to even present you before his very presence on that last day, and it's going to be a presentation in an exuberant joy. He is the only God. He is our Savior. He is the God of glory. He is the God of majesty. He is the God of power. He is the God of authority. Forever in the past, forever in the future, even right now, that's the God that we serve. And how can we respond in light of these truths? We can say, amen. And that's how Jude led his fellow believers to respond, amen. And whenever we say amen, what are we saying? We're saying, this is true. This is the way it is. But also, this is true for me. I am accepting this for myself. I'm making it my own. So along with Jude, may we say amen to the words that he has penned, verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. May we worship our great and glorious God. May we exalt his name now and forever. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in now, whatever circumstance you find yourself in the future, may we always remember God is the God of glory and of might. He is the one who is in control, and we must worship him. We must go to him at all times. May we give him the honor that is due his name. Amen and amen.